Senior Power. This is Lynn McGregor.
And this is David Neely. And this next half hour of Senior Power will be filled with information and entertainment for
mature audiences only.
Now, with the founder of the Senior Planning Center, Anthony Aruda, we're going to hear about why the Senior Planning Center has helped so many Mainers.
To give you an example, it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I had a client come in and said, "Geez, Mr. Aruda, our insurance premium is going up and up," and they were actually on what they call a Medicare supplement that's been around for years, and that's what people had a standard of understanding, a Medicare supplement. And they said, "We can't afford this any longer." They were paying in excess of $200 each person. So as we went in, I said, "Well, yes, there's some programs available now, Medicare Advantage, that you don't have to pay for that premium, but it works from the bottom up, and you would pay co-pays." So, he said, "Yeah, you have additional options." So as we got into it, that was a very plus. But then the woman turned around, and we were saying, I said, "By the way, there are assistance programs if you qualify as a senior with low income." And she just immediately commented to me that, "Oh, by the way, we're on one of those programs. It's called the Quimby program." And I looked at her and I says, "Well, ma'am, I feel very bad, but I'm going to tell you something. The program that you are on, that Quimby program, pays all of your medical expenses over and above Medicare anyway. So that program you've been paying, each of you, at $200 apiece, was not necessary. You don't even need that." The woman says, "What?" Now, the sad part of that is for that woman to have qualified, or that family to qualify, their income was less than $2,000 a month. So for over a year, they had been paying $400 a month out of their income of $2,000 a month for this premium, which they did not need. And she turned around and started crying in front of me. She said, "You don't know what you've just done. You saved us. We didn't know what we were going to do." And when this happened, and this does happen frequently, I looked at this and I said, "Oh, my God, how many people are out there that this is applying to because they have no idea what might be available for help for them?" And this is not welfare. It's something that they deserve because they were on a low-income basis. So the reward that I personally and our entire company gets out of helping these people is tenfold. It's better than any money that we could personally make. But I'm a firm believer of what goes around comes around, because that individual is probably told 15, 20 other people that how much we were able to help them. So there's always a good story that comes out of this. And so when you ask why we get into doing this, we just found out there are so many other avenues that we can just help people. And by doing it, it just increases our business, and it just is a good thing to do.
And Tony, you save these folks $4,800 a year. And when people are on fixed income, that is a major, major life-changing event, as you pointed out. But I want to go a little bit further. You had mentioned before that sometimes, particularly in rural Maine, they may not have access to some of this information. Well, indeed, in a world where everything's an 800 number and you have to go online, for seniors in rural Maine, going online and doing their own research, and you know as well as I do, even if they do their own research, this information is not easy to distill, and it almost takes a pro.
A lot of it, too, is we are in rural Maine, and many of the services through the state and everything else are in offices just based on their demographics, wherever the office is. And in realizing, oh, many of the seniors are just not capable of just going into these offices at any time for appointments or anything like this. And to be honest with you, we find in many, many cases that the senior doesn't like to think they're going to get a handout from anybody. And I like to try to stress to them, this is something that they require. It's something that they should have. The seniors should have this benefit. They've worked all their lives. And if there's programs out there that can help them, they should take advantage of them. And it's just a good thing to do. We're in a state which is very rural. I know from Stratton, Maine to Farmington, Maine, where the DHS office is, that's an hour. And many of these people, they're not visiting Farmington. So that's why in our operation, yes, we have offices, but we have agents throughout the entire state that are going to take care of these people no matter where they are.
Thank you so much for joining us today again, Tony Arruda, the founder of the Senior Planning Center. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, David.
Well, Lynn, you know, we're going to have that great best of show for our next Senior Power Radio program, which will include a variety of people that we've had the good fortune of having on here, including a gentleman named Donato Tramudo. Donato Tramudo was a guy who, in addition to being a senior executivity health, a major healthcare organization, he helped create e-villages, sharing with doctors and medical practices all over the world some of the same technology and knowledge and information we use right here in the States to help improve healthcare across the globe. In addition, he started something called Silver Sneakers, which is a program for those on Medicare that allows for fitness and gym memberships as a part of Medicare. He actually won the National Council on Aging Award for that. But we've had such a variety of guests, from comedians and entertainers and jeepers. Who's the one we had on that you said, "Hi, Susan"?
Oh, Senator Susan Collins. I got a little friendly with her.
Well, and she didn't seem to mind at all. You were like old hometown pals. And then, of course, you know, Senator Collins has been the chair of the Senate Aging Committee. In fact, she's one of the co-founders of that. She's still on that committee today, but she also founded the Alzheimer's Caucus and the Diabetes Caucus and has been very helpful for seniors. So she's been a great one to have on the program. But then there's, who's that, the bird guy that you...
Bob Deshane, Bob the Birdman. He was one of my favorites. He was actually able to answer a long time question that I had.
What was that?
What are gobbies? And people have never heard of them before.
Jeepers, I hadn't heard of them.
Yeah, well, they only come down as far as LaGrange. That's why most people south of here have never heard of them.
Well, jeepers, I mean, is that something we're going to hear in the Best Of show?
Absolutely.
Well, it will be a great show, and we're looking forward to it because we even had Noel Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary. We had one of our own a guest on often, Gary Crocker.
He was fabulous. Oh. I love him. I never laughed so hard.
And some of those duct tape tips are downright practical, too, for us in Maine. And we look forward to having an opportunity to give snippets, if you will, of everybody from the Lobster Lady,
Virginia Oliver,
to the CBS Survivor star named
Bob Crowley,
who was the oldest winner of the CBS Survivor story right here from Maine. That's what we call real senior power.
That is.
So we hope you join us in the next episode of Senior Power for a Best Of show.
We're looking forward to it.
And now I'd like to introduce Bangor's own Mike O'Hara from WGUI Radio. And he's been in the business for, I think this is your 50th year, Michael, am I right?
Well, yeah, something like that. I started in 1976, 64 at WHOU in Holton.
Okay.
So it's been a number of years. I took a couple of years off for the Army and things like that, but yeah, we can say that 50 years is okay.
Well, I saw that you started in the Bangor area in 1971, so we were figuring that was 50 years.
Yeah, I did start in Bangor in 71 after I got back from the service. And then before that, I started actually when I was in high school. I was 14 years old when I broke into radio at WHOU and had my own show and did remote broadcasts and live sports broadcasts. So I've spent just about my entire life in radio.
So you've seen all the changes and know what to tell us about.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all the technical changes. I've seen all the regulations. I can bring you right up to date. I haven't left it. Amazing. I've stuck with it.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, to be, 51 years plus, because you started out at 14, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm happy to say I'm 72 years old.
Holy. I didn't want to give away anybody's ages here.
Oh, Mike, this is Senior Power Radio, though. Dave Neely here, and I welcome you to the program. I'm fascinated because, I mean, with the exception of maybe George Hale, I mean, there can't be many others like you in the state of Maine that have really grown through the years with radio. And I just throw this out quickly. When I was much younger, there were only, I think, maybe two or three stations that I got on my little radio at home.
A transistor?
An older radio. And seriously, this, because you'll remember, but they just had daytime licenses, I think, or some of them did, so you'd hear the national anthem at midnight, and the radio would go off. But can you sort of walk us through the years of what you experienced as perhaps one of the radio legends in Maine?
In 1964, radio was owned by local people who lived in the community. We were obligated to the community. We were, and our license says that our number one job is to serve the community. And then if we can make a buck or two, that's great. But our number one job is to serve the community. And that's what local radio was all about. So I started off in 1964 with a guy known as Keith Stein and Glenn Hilmer. And they owned WHOU. And I got to tell you, it was the wonderful, most wonderful time of my life. The guy that got me into it was a fellow by the name of Al Robeson. Al was the chief engineer, and I was mowing lawns one day at the radio station, covering for a friend, and I would come in and get a Coke out of the Coke machine and watch the announcer through the window. And he one day just came up to me and he says, "You're really interested in this, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, yeah." He says, "Well, what are you looking for?" I said, "Well, where are the singers? Where are the bands?" Well, they got the biggest kick out of that because there was no singers, there was no band, it was all records. So he invited me to come to the radio station that Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, and he would show me around and see if I wanted to run some of the tapes and stuff and learn about the business. Well, later on he told me, he said he made it 5 o'clock because he didn't think I'd make it. I was there at 4:30. Of course, he didn't know I was a farmer, potato picker, and getting up early. That was nothing for us, so I was there. And I ended up, spending my high school years going through high school, being on the radio, dedicating songs to all my girlfriends and all the guys. And it was a lot of fun, I've got to tell you. I was playing Four Seasons. I was one of the first guys to play the Beatles in 1964. So, it was a wonderful time. And at that time, the technology, we put commercials on vinyl, our better clients. We had Dunn Furniture. They were one of our better clients. And so we wanted to make sure that their commercials were really good. So we bring in singers and bands and actually make a record, a vinyl record. And we played that during the dinner hour at 6 o'clock.
That sounds almost anything? Like the old TV soaps. You know, they call, well, the soap operas. So,
we, in those days, it was really amazing. We, the radio station was just an absolute paradise. You'd walk in and it was just all just well decorated, well appointed, just absolutely beautiful. Leather couches, leather chairs, you know, a full bar. It was really a showcase when you'd walk into that radio station when Keith and Glenn had it. So we did a lot of commercials on reel-to-reels, little mini reels. Then came the cart machine. That was just absolutely phenomenal when the cart machine came along, and it was an endless loop, and we put commercials on that. It was a tape machine. And then later on, it ended up being on, you know, CDs and, of course, on hard drives and where we are today. But I remember running around Bangor Friday afternoons with an armful of reel-to-reels delivering commercials to all the other radio stations that were going to start on Monday. So, yeah, it's changed a lot.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
Welcome back to Senior Power. I'm Dave Neely, and
I'm Lynn McGregor, and we're back with Bangor legend Mike O'Hara, 50 years in the radio business. What's your favorite music? Did you have a favorite band? Has it, you know, what's it changed as you've gotten older and gone through the years? Have your tastes changed?
Yeah, growing up, all the kids were really into the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. And I guess I was just an old romantic, right? I love Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. They were just my band.
So they got played a lot, probably for all the girlfriends?
All the girlfriends, yeah, yeah. I had an unfair advantage on all the guys. I was on the radio. If I liked a girl, I'd talk about her on the radio. And everybody would, I go to school and I get in trouble sometimes. But
and
the boss would call me, no, you can't be doing that. Okay, I won't.
I
got in trouble numbers. I got in trouble a number of times over the years, sure.
I was thinking, Mike, you must have played My Eyes Adored You to a certain girl, and then your boss came in and knew that these were very, very pointed selections that you were playing. But seriously, when did it get to be more of a competitive market? What was it in the later 70s then? Or?
Yeah, for me, when I moved to Bangor, I got out of the service and I went to the University of Maine, and I couldn't live without. It was hard to live without money. When you're a student, you're broke, and I didn't like that. So I got a job at WLBZ Radio out on Broadway. It was Eddie Owen and Herb Hunter, Don Clark.
Is that where they used to work with, tape the Eddie Driscoll show?
Yeah, I even got to meet Eddie and over the years. Eddie and I worked together. Just a couple of things over at WLBC TV, because the TV and the radio station at that time were owned by the Thompson family, all one family. So it was really neat working for that family. They were great. They'd ask you to, if you worked on like a holiday or Christmas, I always volunteered for the holidays because I was single, and they'd pay you time and a half. I just couldn't believe that. Why? That's great.
You were rolling in the money.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was great. So I worked at WLBZ. I also worked at the airport as a jet fueler, and then I also worked at Dakin Sporting Goods selling retail. So I had three jobs going in 1971. I was staying pretty busy. And all that time, just really trying to get on WGUI in the worst way. And the general manager was Bob Mooney. And he just didn't think I had the talent. And that radio station was absolutely a monster. It was the most popular radio station in town. Everybody was listening to it because it was a rock radio station. I just loved, you know, I wanted to be in rock and roll, and that was the station I wanted to be in. I didn't want to play anymore Sinatra and Doris Day and Bing Crosby over at WLBZ. I wanted to play some rock and roll.
Well, you were a young man.
Yeah, I was very, I was young, yeah, and very ambitious. I was very ambitious. I wanted to make a mark in the business, and I was determined that Bangor was going to be a stepping stone. I was on my way to the big time. I was going to Boston, and I'm going to go on to New York, and I'm going to be a big-time DJ. And here I am 50 years later, happy as a pig in you-know-what in Bangor, Maine.
I love it.
I'm pretty happy I'm still here. I tell you that. I'm very happy I'm still here.
Well, and you're still part of an independent station. It's not one of the big national corporations, but you obviously went and saw those transitions that took place in the industry, Mike. Can you speak from your perspective as to the things that have changed and the things that have, fortunately remained the same in radio today?
President Reagan changed everything when he deregulated radio. And with that came corporations could have more than one radio station in the market. They could have two or three. Then they could have a television station, and then they could have a newspaper. That started happening when you've got big companies coming in and taking over your local radio station. It was a big time learning curve for me. And to learn how to go up against that, because they have tremendous resources, and they can do things that the small little guy just can't do. The biggest things that happened in radio was deregulation, and I think you lost that small town feel. But I think the big corporations today realize they lost that, and they've given some of the local control back. I know here in Bangor, I know that. A lot of the control is local now, so that's good.
Well, it seems so. I mean, for one, you found a niche so that you're not trying to replicate the other music and programming formats that a lot of the big corporations have. But at the same token, I mean, the diversity of opportunity to listen to different types of music not only came about, as you suggested, because of deregulation and more corporations and well-to-do owners having multiple stations, but also we've had the advent of satellite radio and all the digital technology that in effect competes for people's listenership, and yet you've still managed, and like I say, I mean, I think Lynn said over five decades to maintain and grow market share and your listenership by having a strong niche.
You know, I always say to people, when they come to me and they say, well, you know, radio's dead. Satellite's taken over. And I say, you know, satellite's doing very well. I think they got a subscription of, what, 5, maybe 10 million? Radio reaches 296 million people every single day.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So satellite radio's doing okay, but radio, broadcast radio, is killing it still. And you know what the interesting thing is about it? People will say, well, broadcast radio, that's old. More young people are turning to radio to find new music than any other source. Over YouTube, Instagram, or anything else, they're going to radio to find new music first. I think it's amazing. So, and then my generation, who loved the 60s and 70s, we grew up on radio. So, you know, it's nothing for us to turn it on and leave it on and listen to our music all day long.
Oh, that's right.
We make it a habit. Hey, listen, people my age listen to radio almost every single day, at least for 10 or 15 minutes every day. Find out what's going on in the car, doing something. We listen to radio every day.
Well, Mike, and one of the things we stress here on the Senior Power Radio, I'm sure you'd appreciate it because you've already spoke to it, is the fact that generational consumer behavior almost dictates that those of us who did grow up with radio on still enjoy that. To some extent, it may be for the nostalgia of turning on your favorite station. But the other thing which you mentioned is that we were used to listening to it throughout the course of the day. So you might even be going outside to rake leaves and you bring the radio with you and turn it up while you're raking. I mean, there are people who might be tinkering in the garage or barn and they have the radio on while they're there, or they're in the kitchen and they're preparing something and they have the radio on. So, you know, I do believe that there's an issue of generational consumer behavior that will have its continued impact for radio listenership. But I was shocked when you gave me the numbers about satellite radio and how it's nothing but a rounding error relative to the significant audience that broadcast radio still has.
It's incredible. I mean, we dwarf it.
You know, because you mentioned Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, I think when we do segue off your session, which is hard to do because you've got a lot of energy now, no wonder you can be in your 70s and still be the DJ rocking for us. But which song, if we were to use a song to help exit your segment from Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, would you like us to play?
You can play one of my all-time favorites, Opus number 17, Don't You Worry About Me.
Perfect.
I don't think we need to. I mean, you found, I'm so envious because you found a passion in life that you have been able to live it, you know, to do what you love every day. That's a journey in life.
God has blessed me. I don't know why, but he has. And I take advantage of it every single day. I get up and I go, yeah, I got another day. I'm going to go get it. Here I come.
So to one of the legends of radio, on the legends, WGUI in Bangor, Mike O'Hare, thank you very much for joining us today on Senior Power.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. See you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. SeniorPlanningCenter.com.